Hi, this is Pastor Woods, and I wanted to bring a message to you today. But before I do that, I wanted to remind you that tomorrow at 10 o'clock, we have Sunday school at the First Baptist Church here in Holbrook. At 11 o'clock is the morning worship service. I will not be preaching the morning worship service this week. We have a man that's coming in that's a candidate for pastor for the church, and we certainly need to have a pastor, a full-time pastor. His name's Jim Hilliard, Pastor Jim Hilliard, and I would invite you to come and hear him and be a part of the worship service tomorrow. I think it'll be a great time, and I'd like to invite you to come. I want to talk today about there is a mousetrap in the house. I read a very interesting little story this week, and it kind of inspired me, and I just want to share it with you. First, I want to tell you about Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18 in the New King James Version. It says, "When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand." If you're like me, you don't want anybody's blood on your hand. Here's the story. It's called "There Is a Mousetrap in the House." A mouse looked through the crack in the wall to see the farmer and his wife open a package. What food might this contain, the mouse wondered. He was devastated, though, to discover it was a mousetrap. Retreating to the farmyard, the mouse proclaimed the warning, "There is a mousetrap in the house. There is a mousetrap in the house." The chicken clucked and scratched, raised her head, and said, "Mr. Mouse, I can tell this is of great concern to you, but it is no consequence to me. I cannot be bothered by it." The mouse turned to the pig and told him, "There's a mousetrap in the house. There's a mousetrap in the house." And the pig sympathized, but said, "I'm very sorry, Mr. Mouse, but there's nothing I can do about it. But pray, be assured that you are in my prayers." The mouse turned to the cow and said, "There's a mousetrap in the house. There's a mousetrap in the house." The cow said, "Wow, Mr. Mouse, I'm sorry for you, but it's no skin off my nose." So the mouse returned to the house, head down and dejected, to face the farmer's mousetrap alone. That very night, a sound was heard throughout the house, like the sound of a mousetrap catching its prey. The farmer's wife rushed to see what was caught. In the darkness, she did not see it was a venomous snake whose tail the trap had caught. The snake was furious and bit the farmer's wife, and the farmer rushed her to the hospital, and later she returned home with a severe fever. Everyone knows that you treat a fever with fresh chicken soup. So the farmer took his hatchet to the farmyard for the soup's main ingredients. But his wife's sickness continued, so friends and relatives came to sit with her around the clock. To feed them, the farmer butchered the pig. Their farmer's wife did not get well, and she died. So many people came to the funeral, the farmer had the cows slaughtered to provide enough meat for all of them. The mouse looked upon it all from his crack in the wall with sadness and said, "I warned them about the mouse trap, but they did not take my warning into account." What a picture of our world today. Nominal Christians and sinners are not heeding the warnings that God has given to us about the times in which we live. People are so consumed with life and what the world has to offer that they don't want to be bothered with thoughts about death or judgment or the return of Jesus Christ. They've gotten too comfortable in this world to think about the future home in eternity. Churches and preachers that once were on fire with enthusiasm about living for God and being ready for Christ's return have lost their zeal. They're no longer preaching the message that they've been called to preach. They have compromised so much that it has become the blind leading the blind. Paul warned Timothy, his protege preacher boy about these kind of days. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, "You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very different times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly." Stay away from people like that. You know, it's kind of like he wrote just a newspaper article about today, isn't it? Most people don't want to be bothered with the obvious warnings, and if they don't wake up and respond to God's message soon, they're going to lose everything. Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37, "And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul?" When confronted about their need for salvation, many people are like the chicken in the story I read to you. "I can tell this is a grave concern to you, but it's of no consequence to me. I cannot be bothered by it." It's too bad when people take that position. They don't realize that if they continue to feel it doesn't involve them, that one day they will wake up and find it really did involve them, but it'll be too late. People say, "Well, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere." And then they add, "There are so many roads that lead to heaven." That is bad advice, because that is a sure way to end in hell. Let me tell you, there's only one way to get to heaven, and that is by trusting Jesus as your Savior. He said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So being sincere does not cut it. If you're sincere about the wrong thing, it's not going to get you to heaven. It's not going to help you. I read one time that the sea turtles that live in the mouth of the Columbia River, where it pours in the Pacific Ocean, they often strangle because they eat sandwich bags that people in boats have thrown into the water, and they think that they are jellyfish. Now, a turtle can be very sincere when they think they're eating jellyfish, but instead get a hold of a plastic bag that will strangle them and suffocate them, and they die. I was pastor of the Church of the Nazarene in Pullman, Washington, and Marty decided to thoroughly clean the house and change the sheets on the bed. And she decided to wash the electric blanket, too, because it had been a long time since it had been washed. She then made up the bed with clean sheets and blankets, and somehow she accidentally reversed the controls on the electric blanket. She plugged the control for her side of the blanket into the one that controlled my side, and plugged my controls into her side of the bed. Both plug-ins were at the foot of the bed, and it was very easy to make that kind of mistake. That night when we went to bed, it was very cold outside, and those blankets felt so very good when we snuggled under them. Marty got cold, so she adjusted her controls to be a little warmer. I got too warm, so I adjusted my controls to cool down. You know what happened there, of course. We were adjusting each other's controls. She kept turning her side up to get warm, and I kept turning my side down because I was getting too hot. About 3 in the morning, I threw the blanket off because I was burning up. I jumped out of bed in a panic. I said, "What in the world is going on?" I must have been glowing red in that dark room. We found her mistake, and we connected the controls to the correct sides of the blanket, and then we went back to bed and were able to sleep the rest of the night. Marty was sincere when she plugged in those controls, but being sincere wasn't enough. The controls were still connected wrong. We both felt the consequences of her sincere mistake. You know, it's the same thing with our relationship with God. We might be sincere in what we believe, but to no avail if we are sincerely wrong. People often say God is not a personal God. You know, he created the world and then he vacated the project. And he no longer cares what happens to us as individuals. These kind of people claim to be agnostics. An agnostic is a person who holds a view that any ultimate reality, such as God, is unknown and probably unknowable. They are people who are not committed to believe in either the existence or the non-existence of God. You know, that's really a sad state of affairs, and I feel sorry for people like that. I know there's a God because I have a personal relationship with him. He is so personal that he watches out for me and takes care of me. I don't know how he can do this with 8 billion people in the world. That was a B, billion people in the world. But my Bible says that God knows each of us so well that he even knows the number of hairs that we have in our head. That would be before the shower and also after the showers we take. I had an experience when we lived in Phoenix, Arizona. I pastored the Desert Hope Wesleyan Church. Now, I have been an insulin-dependent diabetic since 1984. Like all diabetics, I have to monitor my blood sugar levels. And so one night, my blood sugar level crashed and went down to 39. Now, normal blood sugar should be someplace 100 to 120. If it drops to 54, you're in trouble, they say. 39 is extremely dangerous and usually requires medical attention to bring it up to normal. It's not something you can take care of at home, and it could easily result in death. I felt my blood sugar drop in the middle of the night, probably, 3:30, 4 o'clock. I got out of bed and went to my bathroom, but I could not think of what I was supposed to do. I just stood there and gawked in the mirror trying to think of what I should do. A person gets very confused in that condition. I remember when I first became diabetic, Marty had to watch me because sometimes if my blood sugar was out of adjustment, I would go and I'd go through the kitchen cupboard doors, but I couldn't ever think of what I was trying to do. So she would come and give me a cookie or something to help me. Well, that night I stood and looked in the medicine cabinet, but could not figure out what I should do. Suddenly, the bedroom and the bathroom lit up like it was midday. That woke Marty up, and she then realized that I was in the bathroom and asked me what was going on, and she came to help me. The whole house was lit like it was noon. It was really very strange. We hadn't turned the lights on. We went to the kitchen. She found food and juice to bring my sugar back up to where it was not dangerous. And about that time, our dog Shadow came wandering out because he knew we were eating something in the kitchen and he didn't want to miss a party. Marty looked outside. The whole yard was bright as daytime out there. The light was inside the perimeter of the yard, but not beyond the fence. Beyond the fence, it was still nighttime. It was just dark. It was like a police helicopter that sometimes flew around Phoenix and shined the spotlight down to see what was going on. It was like one of those helicopters was shining a spotlight down on our house, but there was no helicopter. The light stayed with us for over an hour until I was out of danger, and then normal darkness returned and we went back to bed. I want you to know that was my God taking care of me when I was in trouble. Jesus promised me, and he promised you too, that he would never leave us or forsake us. If you don't know him as your personal Savior, you're missing a tremendous blessing here on earth. And if you don't repent and accept him as your Lord and Savior, you're going to miss eternity with him in heaven. And the alternative is not something you want, to go to eternal hell. I started this message with a story about the mouse warning the animals that there was mouse trap in the house. And the cow said, "Wow, Mr. Mouse, I'm sorry for you, but it's no skin off my nose." Listen, It could very easily become skin off your nose if you continue to reject Jesus Christ. Remember what German pastor Martin Niemöller said when the Nazis were rounding up people to exterminate them in the gas ovens of the Holocaust. He said, first they came for the communists, then they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak out for me. You know, it's time for all of us to quit trying to sidestep our responsibility to Christ and accept his wonderful gift of salvation. Also, to speak out to our friends and neighbors who do not know him as their personal Savior, because they are in great danger. I want to remind you, Jesus is coming soon for his church. And this time you want to be part of the ones that are taken. Make sure you are ready. Let me ask you this question. Are you ready if Jesus Christ would call you home today in death and you'd have to face God? What would you tell him? Would you be able to tell him, I belong in heaven because I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and his blood cleansed me from all unrighteousness? Or if you get in the rapture, if God sends Jesus to take us home to be with him in the rapture, are you ready? Is that something where you would be a part of the group going, or would you be left behind for that 7 years of hell on earth called the Great Tribulation? Let me say this. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't play that stupid game, because it's like Russian roulette. You don't know when Christ is going to come. If he comes before you get ready to meet him, you're lost for all eternity. And you don't want to do that. So I'm praying that everyone that's hearing my voice today will take time to stop and do some inventory and say, do I know Jesus Christ as my Savior? Am I living the way he wants me to live? If not, I need to take care of it right now. Dear Father, I'd pray that you help each one of us, that we might do some introspection. We might find out, Jesus, that maybe there's something between you and us that is going to cause us a lot of problem for eternity. Help us to confess that to you. You said if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John 1:9. And Father, I pray those who have never confessed their sins, you never accepted you as their Savior, will realize how important it is to make that decision while we still have time, while we still have breath and can still pray to you. Have your way in each one of our lives, I pray, and help us to be honest with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, I would invite you to come to the First Baptist Church tomorrow. Help Pastor Jim Hilliard as he preaches to our congregation. I believe that I still will be doing Bible study at 6 p.m. tomorrow evening. By the way, if you want to come to Bible study on Sunday nights, you come through the back door. That's the one that's open. And then you come down to the fellowship area, and we will have a short video and have a big discussion about what that video was about. We're going to be seeing a modern-day version of the story of Mary Magdalene. Hope that you'll be coming. God bless you. If you want to get in touch with me, you know exactly how to do it. My mailbox is box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. My phone number is 623-845-2741. You can text me or you can call me and I'll talk with you and pray with you about whatever we need to talk about. Or if you want to send me a Gmail, which I get so many, it'd be very easy. I'd miss that. So send it first. If it don't answer, try again. But it's lowercase revwmwoods@gmail.com. God bless you. I hope you're having a good day. It's a very strange thing here, what we're seeing. We've got people snowed in and highways closed all around us. but there's not any snow here in Sun Valley or Holbrook. I don't know what's happening, but God is here, and I hope he's with you too. God bless.